Welcome to the Love Reaching Community's Sermon of the Week. For more information pertaining to the life of the church, please visit our website at lrcchurch.co.za.
Good morning, Love Reaching Communities, and to everyone that's joining us online. It's so good to be with you this morning. I have the privilege this morning of sharing a couple of thoughts on Hebrews chapter 10. I've absolutely enjoyed this journey that we've been on as a church as we've been exploring the book of Hebrews. I sincerely hope and pray that you have also been encouraged through these messages that we have been sharing. Last week we heard from Mervin and from Johan. Merv spoke so eloquently on the Ark of the Covenant and the different furnishings that we find in the Ark of the Covenant and how that impacts on our lives today. Johan spoke about Jesus being greater than the sacrifices and the Passover and how that relates to us in how we approach God. Before I get into some thoughts on Hebrews chapter 10, just before Good Friday, a good friend of mine sent me an article, and the title of the article was Golgotha's Bizarre Hebrew Backstory. Now, I know that's a very interesting title, but for me, it wasn't the title that was so much captivating. It was the introduction to this article. And what the writer says in this article, he asks a question, and he says, what can we compare the Bible to? And he says that the Bible can be compared to this massive house that has thousands of doors. And behind each door, there's a key that's laying on the floor. But that key doesn't fit that specific door. That key fits another door somewhere throughout the house. So the challenge for us is to gather up all those keys and start testing which one fits that specific door. And I think that's been our journey through Hebrews. It's just been so wonderful to explore what the Old Testament says, tapping into the Old Testament, looking at the different sacrifices. It's just been so wonderful to test this key in various doors. Before I get into a couple of thoughts on chapter 10, I'm thinking of Daryl Lana. He was standing at this exact point a couple of months ago, and he was talking about how we can be an impact in the communities, but he started off his speech by using a technique that he learned at work, and that technique was starting with the ending in mind. So I want to steal a little bit of that, and I want to start this morning with the end in mind. And the end in mind this morning is four contrasting approaches that I find in the book of Hebrews chapter 10. The first approach in how we can approach God is we can approach Him in reality, or we can approach Him in a shadow. The second one is we can approach Him seated, or we can approach Him in a standing posture. The third approach that I want to share with us this morning is that we can approach Him in the old way or in a new and living way. And the fourth contrasting approach that I'd like to share this morning is we can approach Him inwardly or we can approach Him outwardly. Let us pray. Father, we thank You this morning that we can dive into Your Word and we can explore Your Word and we can test some keys out this morning and we can just look at what You have for us in Your Word, Lord. Thank You this morning for the privilege that I have of sharing a couple of thoughts, Lord. I pray this morning that I would be hidden behind the cross of Jesus, that You would speak through me, Father, that You would anoint my lips, Father, that Your Word would become alive this morning, that Your Word would be active this morning, that Your Word would challenge us this morning, that Your Word will change us this morning. And as we explore Your Word this morning, God, may it bring life to us, Lord. May it bring true life to us this morning, God. I thank You for this. In Jesus' name, amen. So the first point that I want to talk about is we can either approach God in reality or as a shadow. So turn with me to Hebrews chapter 10, and we will be reading from verse 1 to 4. Hebrews chapter 10, and we're reading from verse 1 to 4. And it says, "For since the law has but a shadow of the good things to come instead of the true form of these realities, it can never, by the same sacrifices that are continually offered every year, make perfect those who draw near. Otherwise, would they not have ceased to be offered? Since the worshippers, having once been cleansed, would no longer have any consciousness of sin. But in these sacrifices, there is a reminder of sins every year. For it is impossible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sins. So friends, there's like a similar theme or pattern that we see that's running in these four short verses that we see throughout the book of Hebrews. And that is that the complete and finished work of Jesus Christ on the cross on my behalf and your behalf is contrasted to this temporary work, an imperfect work of sacrifices that were made in the Old Covenant. And we've explored that in quite some length over the last couple of weeks. This portion of Scripture is telling us that the law and sacrifices and ceremonies that took place is only but a shadow of the work that Jesus has done on our behalf. Now, if we look at this word shadow, you know, shadow is a significant thing. Sometimes we think a shadow is not, but a shadow is a significant thing because it points us to reality. It points us to the real thing. And we know what that real thing is. The real thing is the sacrifice that Jesus made on our behalf. If I had to ask you, would you want a car or would you want a shadow of the car? I think you would opt for the car, because it's the real thing, it's the reality. And that's the real thing and the real confidence that we have, that we serve Jesus, who on that cross shed his blood for you and for me. Here's the thing, friends. The law could never fix the problem of sin. It only served to remind us of our sin. And we've seen that in chapter 3, or in verse 3. Let me give you a little bit of an illustration. So about 4 weeks ago, I was walking through my yard and I noticed there was a lot of weeds growing in between the paving. So being the good father that I am, I called my 10-year-old and my 9-year-old and I gave them some blades and I said, hey guys, I want you to take out all these weeds, but you have to make sure that you take them out from the roots. Now please don't judge me for giving my kids blades to remove the weeds. In my defense, they still have all their fingers and all their toes. But moving along, together with them, I did give them some gloves and we removed all those weeds. And it was looking beautiful. But a couple of weeks down the line, guess what happened? Those weeds have begun to grow back again. And why have they grown back again? It's because we didn't remove them from the roots. You see, friends, the sacrifice is the exact same thing. The fact that animals had to be sacrificed year in and year out proves that our sins couldn't be dealt with decisively. If we're going to try to deal with our sins by our good works, how many good works do you think we have to do? You see, if you're anything like me, that sins all the time, there's a lot of good works that we're going to need to do. If we're going to have to deal with our sin problem by religious rituals, how many of those do we need to do? I can estimate we'll be doing a lot of those. But if we're going to try to deal with the sin problem through the perfect work of Jesus on the cross, then it is dealt with finally, conclusively, once and for all. And thank you, Jesus, for that sacrifice that you made on the cross. You see, last week, Johan quoted Ravi Zacharias, and I want to re-quote the quote, that quote, because it has that key word that I'm speaking about, that reality. It says, no other religion has the reality or even suggests the possibility of God sacrificing himself so that humanity can be redeemed. Thank you, Lord, again for that sacrifice on the cross, and that we can come before you real and not the shadow. My second point is approaching God in a standing or in a seated posture. Let's go back to Hebrews chapter 10, and we'll be reading now from verse 11 to 14. Verse 11. And every priest stands daily at his service, offering repeatedly the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. But when Jesus had offered for all time a single sacrifice for sins, he sat down at the right hand of God, waiting from that time until his enemies should be made a footstool for his feet. For by a single sacrifice, he has perfected for all time those who are being sanctified. I want us to look at this portion that we just read and reflect a little bit on the priests and the posture that the priests are taking. When God commanded the tabernacle to be built, there were certain furnishings that were included as part of the tabernacle. We see that we have the Ark of the Covenant, the lampstand, the table of showbread, and Merv covered a little bit of these last week. But did you notice one thing? That there wasn't a chair or a stool for the priest to sit down. And why was that so? We see it in the Word. It's because they continuously had to offer sacrifices. It was a continuous thing that needs to happen. There was no time for sitting down. But when we look at the sacrifice of Jesus and what he did, and what the Word says, that today he is seated at the right hand of the Father, making intercessions for me and you. The very nature of Jesus sitting down next to the Father shows that the work was completed once and for all. Thank you, Jesus, that you died once and for all, and there's no need for other sacrifices. But as I was thinking about this, and as I was pondering this, I was thinking about this word posture and the different postures that we can take in coming before God. And I want to just quickly reflect on some postures. The first one is a posture of kneeling or bowing down before God. If we look at Psalm 95 from 6 to 7, it says, "Oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord, our Maker. For he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand." Another posture that we can implore when we come before God is where we lay before him. We see this. Moses did this in Deuteronomy 9, verse 18. It says, "Then I lay prostrate before the Lord as before, 40 days and 40 nights. I neither ate bread nor drank water because of all the sins you had committed, provoking the Lord by doing what was evil in his sight." The other way that we can come before God as a posture is by clapping our hands. And how I miss the clapping of hands when we worship together here on a Sunday. But Psalm 47, verse 1 says, "Clap your hands, all you people. Shout to God with loud songs of joy." Another way that we can come before God, another posture, is through lifting our hands. Psalm 134 says, "Come, bless the Lord, all you servants of the Lord, who stand by night in the house of the Lord. Lift up your hands to the holy place and bless the Lord. May the Lord, maker of heaven and earth, bless you from Zion." The other one that, as I was thinking about it, we haven't seen quite often amongst our congregation is dancing. We know that David danced before the Lord. Psalm 150 says, "Praise the Lord. Praise God in his sanctuary. Praise him in his mighty firmament. Praise him for his mighty deeds. Praise him according to his surpassing greatness. Praise him with the trumpet sound. Praise him with the flute and harp. Praise him with tambourine and dance. Praise him with strings and pipe." You see, friends, whatever posture we decide to take before God, we better make sure that it allows us to focus on him. Because the Word of God says he wants us to worship him in spirit and in truth. But above that, I think the most important posture is the posture of our hearts. You see, if we clap our hands and raise our hands and our hearts are not right before God, then those are mere simple acts. They are not true worship to our God. My third point that I want to explore this morning is approaching God in a living way or in an old way versus a new and living way. Let's get back to Hebrews chapter 10 and let's look from verse 19, or let's read from verse 19 to 21. And this is almost a turning point in the book of Hebrews. And we'll explore a little bit about that just now. And it says, "Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence," and have confidence is a fact, present tense, we have it. We have it right now. It's present tense. "To enter the holy place by the blood of Jesus, by the new and living way that has opened for us through the curtain, that is through his flesh. And since we have a great priest over the house of God." As we've seen in the Old Testament and in the old way, only the priest could approach the Holy of Holies. But like I mentioned earlier, through that sacrifice of Jesus on the cross, today, me and you, we are able to enter the Holy of Holies. You see, on the Day of Atonement, when the priests had to enter into the Holy of Holies, they entered in there with fear and trembling. Because if there was anything, any sin in their lives, you know what would happen. But today, we can enter into the presence of God because that veil was torn in the middle, and we can enter with a confidence and a boldness before the presence of God. You see, the presence of God is available to me and to you and to anyone who has made Jesus the center of their lives. But the important thing about the presence of God is that we need to experience his presence. And how I experience the presence of God and how you experience the presence of God is completely different. And it's different because God has made us all different. We are all unique. We are not the same. But can I suggest that there are some commonalities of how we can experience this new and living presence of God? I want to talk about something that is a little bit personal to me. As many of you know, I play drums. And probably about 6 months ago, or maybe even further back, I was playing drums. And as I was playing, I felt the Holy Spirit completely take control of my hands. And I felt like I wasn't playing anymore. And I just began to weep as I was sitting behind the drums. And for me, I felt like it was a real transcendent moment of worship before God. But for you, it might be different. You might get into the Word of God and he just begins to reveal gems in his Word. He just begins to open up his Word. And that's how you really experience God. Or maybe you come before him in your quiet time in prayer and God begins to open up things to you, begin to speak in tongues. He begins to reveal those tongues. He begins to speak with you deeply while you're praying and coming before God. We are all different. But the important thing is that we are truly and genuinely experiencing the presence of God in our lives, friends. We are really experiencing that. And can I say something? That you, if you are not experiencing that, can you be angry? Not angry at the musicians, for example, but angry as to why you are not experiencing that true presence of God. And can we have this boldness that we can come before God and say, "God, because of the sacrifice of your son, Jesus, on the cross, I have direct access into the Holy of Holies. Help me to experience you in a new way." Even during this time of lockdown, when we're at home, ask Heavenly Father that we may experience him in a real and in a true way. You know, I one of my favorite scriptures is found in Matthew 7, verse 7. It says, "Ask and it shall be given. Knock and it shall be opened. Seek and you will find." Friends, let's never be satisfied with a substandard approach to experiencing God in our lives. Let's experience him in new ways. And my prayer for all of us this morning is that we will truly experience God because he knows us, in a different and unique way. My final approach to God, in how we can approach God, is an inward versus an outward approach to him. Let's get back to Hebrews chapter 10, and we're going to read from verse 22 to 25. If you have the ESV version of the Bible, You have to turn your page. And it says, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering. For he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together. And oh, how I miss our meeting together, as is habit of some. But encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. You see, if we look at this portion of scripture, there's three let us that the writer states here. The first one is, let us draw near with true hearts. And that for me has to do with our relationship with God. And it's an inward thing. It's our personal relationship with God. The next one is, let us hold fast to the confession of our hope without wavering. And for me, this is almost a twofold, both an inward and an outward way that we can approach God. The first one is hold fast to the confession of our hope, and that is something that we have without wavering. And if we look at what is happening around us, society is telling us to waver. Society is telling us to be anxious. But the Word of God is saying we hold fast to that hope without wavering. We show the world, the outward, that we don't waver. We know where our hope and our anchor lies. The third let us says, let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together. You see, this meeting together really forces, I mean, I've been thinking about this and pondering this meeting together. And I was just looking at myself and a couple of years ago, I did a personality test and it revealed something that I've known for a very long time, that I'm an introvert. And the results were that I was 79% introverted and 29% extroverted. But can I tell you that this introvert is missing? It's missing seeing you. It's missing the connecting that we have, because God created us to be in community. That's why he says, don't neglect the gathering. Don't neglect that, the coming together, the encouraging one another, the standing together with each other. And friends, you know, a couple of weeks ago, if we look at this verse 25 around don't neglect us coming together, we would have been speaking and looking at it quite differently. I think today, if we look at that verse, we have to start thinking creatively and thinking differently on how we can remain and stick with that connection that we have with each other. I was thinking about how can we connect with one another? How do we ensure that we maintain that connection with one another? A couple of practical things perhaps would be text messages, sending people messages of encouragement, messages of hope. You know, social media, apart from using social media to take pictures of your food, we can be sharing encouraging scriptures with one another. We can be loving one another. We could be spurring each other up into good works. The old, very novel approach of maybe giving somebody a call and saying, hey, I'm thinking of you. This is what I felt God has been doing in my life. Maybe it can be an encouragement to you. Those are just ways that we can continue. And I know it's not that one-on-one, face-to-face that we get, but it is a way that we can maintain the connection and the encouragement with one another. You see, this word that is used here, stirring up, is a very strong word. I want to read what Guthrie has to say about this word, stirring up. He says, a striking term meaning incitement, and is either used as in year, in a positive way, in a good sense, or in Acts 15:39, and that's where we see Paul and Barnabas have their disagreement, and this word is used again there. And it can be used in a bad sense. But it seems to suggest that loving one another will not just happen. This stirring up for me, I want it to be something that is a that is something that we spur on. It's something that it's almost an aggressive. We have to be aggressive about how we spur each other on, how we encourage each other, how we walk with our brothers, how we walk with our sisters. I want to encourage us, friends, let's do that. Let's do that. Let's stir each other up. Oh, thank you, Lord. The lockdown, like I said, has really challenged me, and I'm sure it has challenged many of us. It really has challenged. But the one thing that I know, as we spur each other on and as we encourage each other, God is going to begin to that point that I talked about, experiencing Him in a new way. As we do that, my prayer is that we will begin to experience Him in a new way as we encourage one another. You know, why, when I look at this portion of Scripture and just in studying a little bit about it, why were the guys discouraged? Why did the writer say, don't neglect the coming together? The reason why he said that was because the church was discouraged. The people were discouraged. And when we are discouraged, it's easy for us to not come together. When we are discouraged, it's very easy for us to go within our shells and remain within our shells. But another encouragement that I have for us this morning is, let's not do that. Let's spur each other on. Really, if you could get into my heart and see what's in my heart around this point of us just spurring each other on, being aggressive about how we connect and how we speak and how we connect with others. Please, friends, let's do that. I want to end off this morning by quickly just doing a recap. But before I do the recap, if we look from verse 26 to the end, verse 39, a couple of things happen here. From verse 26 to verse 31 in Hebrews chapter 10, there's a strong warning that the writer gives. You see, he uses words, strong words like judgment, fury of fire, dying without mercy. And then 31, he concludes with a very somber verse. It says, it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of a living God. But as we've seen throughout the book of Hebrews, what he does after that is he gives encouragements. He gives two encouragements. The first encouragement is to think back on those days when things were tough. Things were tough, but we joyfully went through those things that were hard for us. It says their properties were burnt down, but they joyfully, that word joyfully, even though affliction came, they were joyful in their affliction. And finally, encourages them not to throw away the confidence, but to have faith and persevere to the end. I think if we look at chapter 10, Hebrews chapter 10, it ends off so beautifully. Verse 39. But we are not of those who shrink back and are destroyed, but of those who have faith and persevere their souls. Father God, I thank you for this morning, Lord. I thank you that your word says we are not those that shrink back. This morning, God, I pray for people that are watching that might be shrinking back. Father, I ask that you, through your Holy Spirit, would begin to speak into lives this morning, that you begin to encourage people through your word, my God, that as we look through this book of Hebrews, Lord, you want us to approach you, God, in reality, because the death of Jesus on the cross was a real thing, God. You want us to approach you in postures of worship, in postures of praise, because we know you have finished the work on the cross, Father. We thank you this morning that we can approach you and we can experience you in a new way, my God. And I ask that people will begin to taste of your holy of holies, my God. May they begin to taste in their worship, in their prayer time, in their reading the word, something new, something different of what you have in your word, my God. I pray, Lord Jesus, that as we focus outwardly, Lord, as we focus on those that are around us, and even though we can't get together, and even though we can't see each other face to face, Lord, may we encourage one another. May we spur on each other. I thank you, God, that your word is alive and it is active and it is changing us, my God. Thank you, Lord, that soon we'll be able to once again meet face to face with you and with each other. But until then, God, may we be so in love with you. May we be so in love with your word. May we be daily reminded of the sacrifice that you made on the cross. And may we live our lives that is committed to you and you alone. We thank you for this in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless.
Thanks again for joining us this morning. It's been good. Good for our hearts, good for our souls. I pray that you met with Jesus and that he has been real to you. Please remember to stay tuned, or your children, to stay tuned for 10:45 for the kids' ministry service. But other than that, I pray that you'll have a wonderful week. Love you lots.
Welcome to the Love Reaching Community's Sermon of the Week. For more information pertaining to the life of the church, please visit our website at lrcchurch.co.za.